we go. Here we go. Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We're ready to chop up that game like we always do. Let everybody know that we're live right now. I need y'all to hit that like button, hit that thumbs up button, hit that thumbs up button hard, and then hit that subscribe button and that bell notification so that you will be notified whenever I go live, ladies and gentlemen. What we're going to do, we're going to take a quick commercial break while everybody's getting in the room. So pile on in the room, get you some popcorn, pull up a chair, because we're going to chop up some great game today. So y'all don't move a muscle. We will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Ladies, are you suffering from hair loss? Has alopecia been a battle that you just can't win? Well, you need to check out She and Her Hair Studio, because that's the solution for you. They're located in Staten Island, New York, and She and Her Hair Studio is the North Shore's premier salon. It's a full-service salon created solely to provide clients with a comfortable, safe, and unforgettable experience. Check them out right now at sheandherstudio.com. Give them an email at sheandherstudio@gmail.com right now.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
If you're a business owner like me, then you know that missing phone calls equals losing revenue. Did you know that 30% of clients don't leave messages when their calls go unanswered? Top Tier Talks is your solution. Top Tier Talks is 100% Black-owned, U.S.-based virtual receptionist company that can take your important phone calls, set appointments, take complete orders, and answer your clients' questions, all while you focus on what's important, running your business. Visit us today at toptiertalks.com and let us help you take your business to the next level. Stop missing phone calls, stop losing revenue, and start using toptiertalks.com.
Do you have a small business, or do you want to start your own business? Do you need business development and sales support services? You're tired of your dead-end job and you need a new career? Reach out to my brother Junius James at Junius James Incorporated. He has a nonprofit organization in Milwaukee that specializes in empowering the Black community. Give him a call at 1-855-JUNIUS-JAMES. That's 855-586-4875. They are a Black-owned business, and they're down to provide services nationwide. Give them a call right now for some employment opportunities. What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas, called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to cookieconfidant.com. to get these cookies. Black-owned company, man. They got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com. Check out Divine Essential Minerals right now. Divine Essential Minerals is a Black-owned vitamins and minerals supplement business that offers a variety of high-quality vitamins and minerals in capsule form. Capsules such as sea moss infused with bladderwrack, burdock root, elderberry, lion's mane, dandelion root, and many, many more. Use the coupon code Tariq15 to get 15% off at checkout. Invest in your healthcare and your self-care right now by going to DivineEMinerals.com. Again, that's DivineEMinerals.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Let's get down to it.
You are now tuned in to the godfather of the game. Often imitated and always celebrated.
Stop sloganary. Sloganary kills people.
Hey yo, check this out. It's
Tariq Nasheed on Tariq Radio.
Let's go. Let's go.
Be my goddamn thumb alone.
Monkey.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. We're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Glad to have the family tuning in on this lovely afternoon. Summer is arising. Summer is here. It is Juneteenth time, ladies and gentlemen. So we got to start celebrating Juneteenth month. By the way, family, I got to thank everybody who has contributed to the Kickstarter for the new movie, American Maroon. I think we're almost at 12K. In the first couple of days, which is beautiful. We're on a great start. You guys, please hit that link right there in the profile section below. If you're watching live on YouTube, click that link and make your contribution and be a part of this monumental film called American Maroon. It's a phenomenal film that we are doing, and we need the family involved in that, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff we're going to talk about on today's broadcast. Have you guys hit that link yet? Have y'all hit the like button? You got to hit that like button, and you got to hit that subscribe button if you have not done that already. Hit that like button and subscribe button. And don't forget, with the Kickstarter, we got a great package. One of the packages is $300 for the contribution is for $300. And with that, you get a special thanks in the film. You get a free subscription for a month to the new streaming site that we're putting together. And you get a maroon package, which includes the maroon flag bandana, the maroon mouse pad, the maroon flashlight. You get an autographed copy of my book, Foundation of Black American Race Baiter. You get a buck-breaking DVD, and also you get to taste one of the delicious Michi Munchie cookies. We have cookies coming out called Michi Munchies. Very delicious cookie. I'm telling you, when y'all taste these Michi Munchie cookies, you guys gonna flip out. These cookies are delicious, delicious cookies, and we're going to have them in the shape of fat animals. They're going to be animals that are bad built. We're going to have bad built animals, but they're going to taste delicious. I promise you, y'all want to get down on that Michi Munchie game. But anyway, I digress. Let's get on. We got some other stuff we got to talk about here. We got to talk about some other stuff. Before I get into the main topic, this week, something went viral. I did that went viral, and I didn't expect it to go viral. It's all over. They got it all over the gossip blogs. It's all on World Star. It's all over the place. There was a situation out here near where I live that involved the rapper Designer. Did y'all see that? I'm going to play the video for those who haven't seen it. But this has gone all of the blog. It's everywhere. Everybody put it up. World Star, Shade Room, everybody. It's all over the place. And it was very random what happened. It was something that was extremely random. Yesterday, I was at the crib chilling, and I just wanted to step out to my office. My office is around the corner from my crib, and I needed to go pick up some mail from my office. So I just, threw on some stuff to go around to the office very, very quickly. And when I drove towards my office, there's a gas station on the corner, right? next to my office building, there's a gas station on the corner. And at this gas station, I saw a lot of police cars. There's like 8 police cars at this gas station. Like real extra. I'm like, wow, that's unusual. And then I passed by, went to my office real quickly. And I said, wait a minute. I thought about it. I said, wait a minute. That's not only is that unusual, that's a little bit too unusual, especially for this area. This area is a predominantly white area. And we have a lot of white criminals over here. And law enforcement, they act like these white criminals are damn near invisible. They don't do anything to these white criminals. You got a bunch of white meth heads running around here. White people be stealing people's Amazon packages. White people be breaking into people's cars over here. And the police don't do anything. They broke into my wife's car a couple of months ago, some white meth head. So they break into people's cars and steal packages. And they just a lot of white criminality around here. And the police just act like they don't exist. They act like these white criminals are invisible. So I thought about it. When I saw all those cars there, I said, you know what? I bet they got some brother hemmed up. I said, I can almost guarantee they have a brother hemmed up because I didn't see what they were there for at first. So I said, let me go back over here and see what's going on. So I drove back over to the gas station, and sure enough, there was this brother standing in front of the store, and there was a bunch of cops surrounding him. And I'm looking around. They didn't have their guns drawn on him, but a couple of the cops had their hands on their waists. So I'm looking at the situation, and I'm like, okay, this brother, clearly he didn't commit any kind of crime, because if he committed a crime, they would have handcuffed him or had him in the back of the squad car already. Because, yeah, they're very over the top. If it was like a jaywalking crime, any crime that they would have found on this guy, he would have been in cuffs. So they don't have anything on this brother. So looking at the way they were surrounding him, I'm thinking, okay, they're looking for a reason to try to escalate this thing. Because it was real over the top. And they were casually surrounding the brother. And you know how that goes, man. They come in overly dramatic, find some innocent black person. They start slowly surrounding him. And then all it takes is one of the aggressive cops to start escalating the situation to get a reaction from the black person. So it looks like they were about to do an ambush on this brother. And plus, this is a predominantly white area, so all the white people will be on code and act like they didn't see what really happened. You understand? That's what they depend on. They do these things. They'll catch a black person in a predominantly white area, and they understand that all the white people are going to be on code with the police. They're not going to bring any information forth that will indict the police, so they know they're in a good space with this brother by himself with all of these white people around, who's going to turn a blind eye and get on code with them. You understand what I'm saying? So it was real over the top, and I knew the brother didn't do anything. So I said, this ain't going to go down today. So they're not going to do no ambush today. This is not going to happen today. So I pulled right on up, because most of the entrance ways of the gas station, they had them kind of blocked off, but there's a little car wash entrance. So I went through the car wash entrance. So I pulled up, got out the car, got my camera out, and then I walked right up to the brother and stood next to him. First thing I said, brother, are you okay? Then I looked at the cops. I'm standing right in front of the cops. I'm in the line of fire. So if y'all shoot him, y'all have to shoot me too. Y'all got to do two folks today. We're not going to do any ambushes. I said, hey, is this brother okay? Let me show y'all the video. I'll show the video. Okay? Let me show you guys the video. Because the brother was looking nervous. The brother was looking hella nervous. So I knew there was a problem there. And I wasn't just going to sit around and let no bullshit happen. So I said, hey, let me, we got to de-escalate this, and we got to let the race soldiers know that there are eyes on you. Now, I didn't know this was Designer. This was the rapper Designer, and I had no idea it was him. I just saw a black person that was in danger, so I said, hey, let me go in here and just, you know, be right here just in case some nonsense happened. But let me show the video. I'll show the video for those who have not seen it. Hold on one second. Let me get this together. Let me show you guys the video real quickly. All right. And let me get the audio together. Hold on one second. Now, this is, all of this happened yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll play the video and walk it through. Is this big enough? Let me make it big enough, guys. All right. Let me make it bigger. There we go. All right. Now, hold on one second. Let me play this. Okay, got it. All right. Okay, there we go. Okay, let me put my music back on. Okay, so with that situation, again, I didn't even know it was Designer. Now, when I saw for a split second, I kind of said, oh, that brother kind of looks like the rapper Designer, but rapper Designer looks like a lot of young brothers. So, you know, I didn't really think too much of it. My focal point was really the police, what the hell they were doing. That was my focal point. That was my focal point. And, you know, I kicked it for a few minutes, and then they started to relax. At one point, I'm going to play something again. This is why it's important for us to just be on the scene. Because that brother was nervous, and again, he had every right to be, because they were setting the perimeter up to possibly do something to that brother. At one point, you hear me say, hey, are you good? I was talking to one of the cops who had his hand on his damn hip. Let me play that again if y'all missed that. Let me play that one more time. Let me play it again. Let me walk through it again. Hold on. Wait. I'm messing up over here. I'm pushing all types of buttons. All right, let me play this one more time. Now, right there, when I said you good, I was talking right there. When I said you good, because it was a cop kind of put his hand on his hip. I'm like, hey, you good? Then he took his hand. Oh, yeah, I'm good. So this is why we gotta step to these people, man. We got to check on folks and kind of call out what's going on here. We have to call this stuff out. They're being all extra aggressive for no reason. It didn't take all that. It didn't take all that at all. And there were some people on some of the other blogs, well, Designer shouldn't have had tinted windows, because I think they were following him because he had tinted windows. I think that's what started all this. He had tinted windows. And let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, Shade Room posted it. Yeah, I think it has like 2 million views on Shade Room. So there were some people, probably some suspected white supremacists. Well, he shouldn't have had tinted windows. I don't give a damn if you do have tinted windows. It don't take 8-9 cops and all of this stuff. It don't take all this for no damn tinted windows. All right, let's be very clear. Let me tell you how they operate out here. The race soldiers out here, they don't like cameras. You know, they got their body cams to watch you, but nobody's really watching them. And this is how they get away with a lot of stuff, because they'll go out here and do like some little secret ambush and nobody never gets to see the footage. And what they'll do, they'll start doctoring whatever footage of the black person up. They'll doctor that up and say, well, look, right there was a shadow and the cop thought that shadow was a gun. You understand what I'm saying? So the race soldiers don't like the camera on them. And that's what I did. because you had a couple of white supremacists who were actually mad at this video. They were like, look, what are you going to do, Tariq? Because, see, they're mad because we're not afraid of the cops. See, y'all better understand, out here in L.A., we're not afraid of police out here in L.A. That's a part of the culture in Los Angeles. We're not afraid of the police. That's number one. We are not afraid of the damn police out here. We look at them as just another gang, man. But the thing is, what we did, we put them on Front Street. We did exactly, or I did exactly what we're supposed to do. Number one, I got them all on camera. That was the first thing. So now if they do any type of dastardly deed, all of their faces are going to be on Front Street and people are going to know exactly who they are. So that calmed them down right there. That made them get some act right. Also, they knew that another black person was there looking out for the interest of the victim here. Instead of some white supremacist standing around being on code with the police. So now they understood another part of LA culture. If they do something slick, things can get hot on the block very quickly out here. And they know that. Okay? They know that. They don't know what I was doing. They don't know who I was calling. They don't know if I was streaming this thing live. What they do know is that there's somebody looking out for the best interest of the victim, of the black victim. And if they do something slick, that block can get real full at any moment. And they know that things escalate out here real quick. You understand? Crowds can form in the matter of minutes out here if something goes wrong. They know that. So the fact that somebody was out there looking out for this brother, the race soldiers got a little act right. And if you notice, when I got out there, they started trying to make this jive ass small talk with them. Hey, what kind of tires are those on your car? What do you? How often do you have to change those tires? Did you hear that part of it? Yeah, then they tried to get into this little goofy small talk because they understand that this was some over-the-top nonsense that was completely unnecessary and it's designed to intimidate and ultimately possibly ambush people. That's the only reason they do stuff like this, so they can put black folks in a position where they can possibly ambush them. They create this non-existent threat so that they can get them a stripe under their belt for knocking out a black person and getting a black person taken out. This is how they operate, and I wasn't going to sit back and just let that happen. You dig? As a man, we can't let that type of stuff happen, as men and women. And we got to not be emotional. We can't be out here yelling, oh, yeah, did it wrong. No. We don't. No emotional yelling or nothing. No emotional yelling or anything. As they saw, the race soldiers saw, there was a person looking out for that victim who wasn't emotional. Who wasn't out there crying, wasn't out there yelling. When they see a non-emotional or non-emotional black people out here organizing and being in the peripheral, they get some act right. You dig? We got to start doing that and stop being afraid, man. I promise we are not afraid of these folks out here. I know these people are very dangerous. I get it. I know they're dangerous. I know these race soldiers are dangerous. I know there's a bunch of white supremacists in law enforcement, and I know the danger. And one of those cities, what city was that? They shot this pregnant sister. Sister pregnant. They shot this sister 5 times. I understand the danger, but it's a war. Act like that shit, man. It's a damn war. This is a war out here. You better act like you're in a war. And family, when situations happen like this, just the presence of other black people, just you showing up when you see a situation like this and standing in the peripheral, that right there will help de-escalate certain things because they don't know what this other person is going to do. See, they like cornering off a black person by themselves. You understand? That's their strength. Getting them, and that's what they were doing. This is tinted windows, family. Look at this. This is for tinted damn windows. Tinted damn windows. It don't take all that for no tinted windows. See, they see a brother in a white neighborhood by himself. they look at that as an opportunity. And we don't let them take those opportunities, family. Now, later on, when I posted it, people were like, hey, ain't that designer? That might be him. And then I saw some other footage. I saw, oh, that is him. Okay. So that was very random. That was very, very random. But we got to start looking out for each other, man. This is what it is out here. We got to be cognizant of what's going on, and we have to look out for the family. That's what it is. Because it's war out here. And again, this is tying into what we're talking about on today's broadcast. And what really pissed me off, they got all this energy for a brother over some tinted windows. But these race soldiers, they won't run up in a school with a real armed white boy shooting up kids. See, this is what I don't respect. I don't respect it at all. They're showing all of this energy for some damn brother who's unarmed. But when it comes time to doing some real police work, see, this is what the police are for, man. The police, man, let's keep it a buck. They're only designed to go out here to target black people. They give white society a sonic satisfaction knowing that black people are being targeted. That makes white people feel safe, which they're not really safe, because if black folks wanted to get at them, black folks would get at them. But just the sonic satisfaction that you have this army, and white people have a personal army, because when white people go out here harassing black people, they know that the police will be on their side. They know that they have a backing army. That's what the police is. The police is basically military backup for white supremacists, even the casual white supremacists who we see harassing black people on a regular basis. They look at law enforcement as their backup, which it really is. They're a slave patrol. That's why whenever there's real police work to be done that ain't got nothing to do with black people, they fumble the ball. They're the Keystone Cops when it comes to doing some real police work. They're completely inept. They're inept when it comes to black people. Their job is to just terrorize us and shoot us and kill us and jail us indiscriminately. See, we have to fix that. So this is why we have all of these wild Karen videos, and not just Karen videos, the Ken videos too, Karens and Kens. Because this ties in to what we're talking about, mass shootings and the great replacement. See, the white supremacists, they know that their numbers are dwindling, their numbers are going down, and what they have to do is create an apartheid state. They feel like black people are going to replace them, which, you know, we're going to live forever. We're going to be here. We were the first and we're going to be the last. But they're thinking, okay, we're going to have to run this thing as a minority with all of these black people, this big black majority. How are we going to do that? We have to terrorize these people. And this is what a lot of these mass shootings are designed to do. These mass shootings are the white supremacists letting everybody know, hey, this is what we'll do in order to maintain order. Not only will we shoot Negroes, we will shoot other white people or other white Hispanics. We will shoot people within our own communities in order to let people know how serious we are about maintaining white order and white supremacy. We will create chaos in order to maintain order. You understand what that means? It sounds crazy. We will remain in power and we will create chaos in order to have order. We have to show people how crazy we can get in order for them to hand over the reins of power to us, to let us maintain the reins of power. You understand? That's their mentality. And this is why we see all these mass shootings out here. This is why we see these white supremacists harassing black people. There was something down there in Texas. There was this black-owned business. And I keep telling people how black-owned businesses are always targeted and harassed. The suspected white supremacists walked up into this building. This sister had a spa. So the white man, who has a long criminal record, he was all in the woman's business looking around and kind of casing the joint out, and he wouldn't leave. He's sitting there and this white man would not leave. And the sister damn near has to beg this guy to leave. This white man right here. Hold on 1 second. Let me play this for those who have not seen this. Hold on 1 second.
good. Get out of my establishment now. Call the cops. Call them. get out, please.
You just lied to me.
I just lied to you?
You're wasting my time. You lied to me.
You're walking around my business like you own the place.
Monkey.
And I asked you to have a seat and finish your paperwork.
Yeah.
You're going through my windows, opening my windows to case the place in some way. It's very weird.
You want to know why I walked around in here? I just want to see the room.
Yeah, but do you realize that I have other clients here and that is disrespectful? So I need for you to leave. I need for you to leave now. Leave. Or this whole video is going to go on social media and they're going to have your face. Leave. It doesn't matter. Leave. Leave now. Leave now. Leave now. You got 5 seconds to leave. Or what? Get the fuck out of here.
Okay, okay. Seriously, now, family, this is why. Ladies, you got to have some men in your life. You got to have some men in your life to handle this. See, they know who to pull this on. They know who to pull this little sucker move on. Ladies, y'all got to have some brothers. You got to have some men in your life. Somebody you can make that phone call to. This guy, he understood that law enforcement, white law enforcement, they're on his side. And by the way, the woman called the police. The police never showed up, by the way. The police never showed up. And he knew what the deal was. These white supremacists understand that police, law enforcement, as we know it, it's on their side. Ladies, you got to have a man in your life. Y'all stop letting them run that black girl magic stuff, sisters. They look at you as soft targets. They're going to target you first. You need a man in your life. You need a brother who you can call up to handle that. That needed to be handled by a nice, strong brother. Somebody like me. That would have been nipped in the bud real quick. That would have been nipped in the bud real damn quick. That dude is trespassing. So he's already, and you're telling him to leave. His ass is trespassing. So now it's fair game on that ass. You understand? Y'all got to have some brothers in your life. You understand? This is why we all got to be on the same page with each other. We can't go for that gender divide nonsense. We can't be on that gender divide. We cannot be on that gender divide. We're all in this together. Black men and black women, we need each other in this war against these white supremacists. They use gender divides against us. Because they are cowards and they're going to go after soft targets. Let's stop playing games with this thing out here. And family, the white supremacist media, they're on code with these white supremacists and their deeds. There was another white man out here in, this was in South Carolina. A white man sat up here where he was shooting at random cars that had black people in them. And this dude killed an 8-year-old. He killed a black child in South Carolina, randomly shooting. Let me get this story together because they got all these ads up here. A New Hampshire 8-year-old boy. The boy was from New Hampshire. He was down there visiting South Carolina, damn near like another Emmett Till situation. Emmett Till was visiting the South and he was from Chicago. Then he got killed when he went down South. New Hampshire 8-year-old killed by a man randomly shooting at passing cars. He wasn't randomly shooting at cars. He was shooting at black people. And the white media, they keep leaving out this was a black child. All right, this is the white supremacist suspect here. So they're trying to act like this was some kind of random act and not some hate crime. He shot a bunch of black people. It was other black people he shot too. See, they get on code with each other. Family, we got to look out, man. This is real out here. These people are launching these random attacks on us every single day. Not even random, racialized attacks. We have to look at this thing as a family. White supremacists are cowards. They're targeting soft targets first. Women, pregnant women, black children. You understand? We got to look out for each other, family. That great replacement theory. See, they know their numbers are dwindling. So they're like, hey, they're going to go scorched earth. They're going to take the world with them. They'll burn everything down. They think if they go out, they'll have to burn the world down with them. It's like the Joker. I just like to see the world burning. And another thing about these mass shootings, again, these mass shootings are designed to let everybody know how crazy and how rowdy the white supremacists are and how extreme they will go if you challenge their power. These are fear tactics. We got to stop being afraid of them. We got to stop being afraid of them. But we have to understand what they're doing now, because white males have become the faces of these mass shootings. So they got to put black faces on them. So what they're doing now, any shooting now around the country that involves a black person, they're going to frame it as a mass shooting. Down there in Louisiana, there was some dusty Negro shot at some folks at a graduation, and they framed that as a mass shooting. Okay? So we got to watch this stuff out here. They're going to frame everything a black person does, any type of shooting a black person does, they're going to frame that as a mass shooting so that they can not have white people as the face of mass shooters. And there was a situation in Tulsa where there was another mass shooting that involved a black person. Now, we got to look at this, too, because there is another great replacement that we don't talk about, which are the tethers trying to replace foundational black Americans. That's another great replacement that we need to look into that does involve not only mass shootings, but mass anti-FBA propaganda. You see, there's two great replacements we have to look out for. Look out for the white supremacists and their great replacements, their great replacement theories, and we have to look out for these non-FBA tethers from the tether class of the immigrants and their replacement theory mindset. Because that too is real, ladies and gentlemen. Now, out there in Tulsa, there was a shooting that involved a black dude. And this black dude went into a hospital, shot a black doctor, and he shot some other people. He shot a couple of white people. I think he shot four people total. Shot a black doctor, four white people, killed him. But his main target was the black doctor. Okay? And the guy, the Tulsa mass shooter, the reporting, his name is Michael Lewis. This is Michael Lewis right here. All right, hold on. That's Michael Lewis right there. Eyes bucking and all. All right? This is the Tulsa mass shooter complained to his surgeon hours before killing him. So his surgeon was a black man. Now, when you see this image of this shooter and his eyes bucking, what's the first thing y'all see here, family? What's the first thing you think? When you see this, when you see this face, what's the first thing you think? With the eyes bucking, yeah, he looks crazy as hell, but what else do you think? When you see this face, this ain't no damn FBA. You can look at this dude and tell he ain't FBA. Non-FBA, exactly. Now, they said his name was Michael Lewis. But he goes by another name. That's not, I don't think that's his real name. We found another picture, an older picture of this guy. See, the media doesn't tell you this. Hold on. This is him too. His name is Michelette Louis Baptiste. That's a Haitian. This dude is Haitian. That's a Haitian name. That's him right there. That's an older picture of him. Michelette Louis Baptiste. That's his whole name right here. See, what they'll do, you get these tethers who come over here, then they'll anglicize their names. But when you look at old yearbooks and high school pictures, oh, wait a minute. This dude, this is a damn tether. That's a tether. This is a goddamn tether. He changed his name, and the white media knows this, but they're not telling you this. They're not telling you this. So this non-FBA tether went in here and targeted this FBA brother and killed him. A lot of them do this. They have these names and they'll change their name. They'll anglicize their names so that they can blend in with us. They do this all the time. And the white media knows they do this. See, we got to understand when it's a so-called black person. Where's that black person from doing this type of stuff? You see? We better watch out for the dangerous tether class who's targeting us. Because yeah, when he targeted the black doctor, I said, oh, wait a damn minute. But man, we got to understand the tether class, man, the great replacement, that's happening with these tethers out there in Chicago. Hold on. Let me show y'all something happening in Chicago right now. There was a black owned bank, and shout out to the Black Authority. He posted this up. There was a black owned bank out there in Chicago, one of the oldest black owned banks. And the bank was sold to this, where is it? I want to find the story. Hold on. Where's the story? I got to find the story. It was sold to this West African dude. Where's the story? Hold on. Let me find this damn story. Because that's very important. I want to find that story. I've got to have all my receipts together, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, this bank was sold to this West African dude. And the guy, what the hell is his name? Damn, I had the story up. Now I can't find it. I already had it. And I got to look up this guy out there in Chicago. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on one second. I'm looking it up again. I like to have all of my receipts right here. And I had it up. I don't know why it's up. Okay, Chicago's black-owned bank. What's the name of that bank? GN Bank. GN Bank. Hold on. Let me find the owner's name again. Hold on. Because, yeah, he's out here scamming that owner. Hold on. Man, I had that story pulled up and I wanted that story. Okay, here it is. I think this is it right here. Let me find the story again. Okay. Okay, here it is. Here it is. This is what I'm looking for, guys. Sorry it took so long. I just like to have all of my receipts together. So out here in Chicago, there's this bank. Complaints mount against Chicago's last black-owned bank. Somebody said it's like the Flintstones. So this black-owned bank, one of the oldest black-owned banks, it was bought by this West African dude. And there's a picture of the West African dude right here. Where is it? That's the complaint. There's so many complaints against the bank, but this is him right here. You can see the forehead, the non-FBA hairline. That's him. Dr. Unduum and his wife in front of the bank. So they got the bank. They bought the bank. And what they're doing, this tether then bought the bank. And now he's out here selling people's loans to these different companies without telling them. And what's happening is people, FBA sisters like this and FBA brothers and sisters, are getting their homes foreclosed on because he's giving them janky receipts and they're not keeping the receipts on record. And they're up here selling people's bank loans or housing loans to other companies without telling them, without having the proper paperwork. And then what happens is these other companies come in and swoop down and start foreclosing black people's homes. You understand? So this dude is keeping janky books. There's all these people complaining about this dude kind of dirtbagging foundational black Americans who got their money in this damn bank. You understand what I'm saying? So these folks are coming over here with their little scams and schemes. This is why they're always projecting that nonsense onto us. Whenever we do some decent business, nigga, that sounds like a scam, nigga. What is this scam? That is a scam. They love projecting that scam on us because that's exactly what they do. Down there in Georgia, let me tell you another scam that they got going on. These tethers will go down here and they'll start finding people who are delinquent on some of the property taxes all through Atlanta. And then they'll start filing these liens on people's homes so they can take your homes. A lot of those tethers down there in Atlanta do that shit. they do that big time down there. They'll go out there and start finding whoever's delinquent on their property tax. Sometimes people just might have waited 30 days that they might not have even gotten a property tax notice, and they'll go look for that and then go file a foreclosure on the people's homes so they can acquire people's homes. They do all types of little dirtbag stuff against us behind the scenes that we don't even know about, man. They do this little stuff, man. And that has to be called out. That's the real great replacement when it comes to us. A lot of the damn tethers. Somebody posted this story earlier on Twitter, where it was an excerpt from a book written by this guy. He's Jamaican, Trinidadian, and some other Hispanic nationality. What is this? I forgot. I don't know what flag that is. But this guy wrote something talking about how his Jamaican parents, his Jamaican mom, his Caribbean family didn't want him identifying as black. This is very telling. And this is what we've been telling people for the longest. Look at this right here. And shout out to Non-Human Media for posting this. This is from a book by this guy. He's a black Hispanic, Pedro Noguera. He's a writer. And check this out. I think his book is called Anything But Black. In an effort of my parents to create a new sense of difference in their children, all six of who've been born in the United States from their black American counterparts had a different goal. Although they knew they could not shield us from white racism, they hoped they could at least buffer us from the insidious sense of inferiority they perceived as prevalent among blacks in the United States, and they regarded that as the most damaging effect of American racism. Let me stop there. That's a projection. They have a major inferiority complex all in the Caribbean and in Africa too. They're the ones sitting over there with cake soap like crazy, but I digress. But let me read the rest of this. It goes on to read, "You are not black, my father would insist. You are brown." Of course, we understood the implications of this admonition. Brown is presumably better than being black. More importantly, if you think you're better and if you see yourself through the lens that has not been stained by the history of racial oppression in the United States, then perhaps you can avoid the self-imposed stigma of race in America. Now, let me pause there for a minute. When people talk about black and brown, understand there's a reason why a lot of black immigrants like pushing that black and brown, because deep down they look at themselves as brown. Even people from the Caribbean, even people from Africa, they will look at themselves as brown before black. This is them admitting that in that document right here. Many of them, that's why they like brown. A lot of these black immigrants like brown. See, Hispanic immigrants don't really play that brown talk. They look at themselves as white. That's why we always hear black and brown. They're like, who the hell are these brown people y'all keep talking about? Who are these brown people? Hispanics look at themselves as white. They do not look at themselves as brown. But a lot of these people sit up here, these tethers, thinking, okay, well, I'm brown. I ain't black. My status is different. That's where that comes from. And they're black when it's convenient, when they're trying to get something. Oh, I'm black like you. Oh, yeah, I'm black. But behind closed doors, you know, black. Let me read the rest of it. In fact, beyond telling us that we were not black, my father pointedly informed us that we were only Americans by accident of birth. Despite the desire of my parents, each of us learned in his or own way that outside the home, we were most definitely black. It was a realization that occurred more quickly and easily for me and my darker-skinned siblings than for the lighter ones. With Spanish First and last names, the lighter ones could easily pass for Puerto Rican. In fact, my younger brother passed for Puerto Rican throughout much of high school. My own racial awareness was largely political almost from the start. I was 9 years old on the day Martin Luther King was assassinated. When I walked to school, let me pull this up here. When I walked to school that day, when I walked to school with my friends that morning, we met up with other kids who told us that black kids were not going to school that day because King had been shot. With my friends happily returning home, I did the same, only to be told by my mother and his mother's Jamaican. I was told by my mother that the boycott did not apply to me or my siblings because we were not black. I tried without success to explain to her that everyone else thought I was black, but as she proceeded to search for a belt as which to enforce her order to go to school, I realized my assertion of blackness would have to wait for another day. Family, this is these people admitting that anti-FBA contempt that they have in these damn Caribbean homes that we keep telling you about, and it goes all the way back to the 60s. They've been on this, which is what we've been telling you. They've been on this anti-FBA crusade. This is why we can't get no codification with them when it comes to boycotting. I've been telling people this. When it comes to boycotting in the 50s, 60s, foundational black Americans could immediately get on code and we can boycott, and the boycotts would be effective because all of us would be on code. We have not been able to get on code like that because we have these damn tethers who don't even look at it themselves as the same. So no, we know boycott because we're not the same. Remember in New York when my sister Jade was up there boycotting the Asian beauty, the Asian nail shop that beat up some sisters, and the foundation of black Americans were out there boycotting, and the damn Caribbean mammies were out there hugging on the damn Asians. They were not participating in the boycott. They were sitting up there still supporting. It was all them damn Jamaican mammies up there still supporting the Asians, even though the FBA family still eventually got them the hell up out of there, by the way. They got them out of there, but it was them Caribbean mammies that were breaking the picket line, by the way. They're like, oh no, we're not on code with them. We're more on code with other Asian and Hispanic immigrants than these FBAs. And then people get mad when we circle our wagon and say, hey, we're going to look out for foundational black Americans. We're going to look out for our own group. We're going to look out for our best interest. This is what we're doing out here in California. We're looking out for foundational black Americans, especially with this reparations. And yesterday, they just released a 500-page document talking about the importance of reparations for descendants of slaves, foundational black American freedmen. The next report they're going to put out is going to talk about what exactly what the compensation should be. Now, that's what I got my eye on. That's what I really got my eye on, what the compensation should be. They're pushing some of these in Cobra Negroes out here talking about, well, reparations, it should not be all about a check. It shouldn't be just about a check. It should be starting with a check. We're not going to do that. It ain't just about a check. Oh, yes, it is. Is going to start with the check. And understand, we've been on their necks out here about lineage-based delineations about what we're supposed to get. Remember, we were speaking on those reparation forums that they hosted online. We were on their necks heavy. That's why it's important to get that grassroots energy out there. We were on that reparations task force necks. We were on their necks heavy. This is why they got that delineation correct, the lineage-based designations. And this is going to set a precedent for all over the country. Now everybody's standing up and paying attention now, because we stopped them from putting any type of trick bag nonsense into who's going to get reparations. And we got to watch out for the NCOBRA crowd, because again, their job is to undermine us. So we're on their necks out here. We're on their necks. Us getting on those reparations panels and speaking our piece, you better believe that impacted the language and the wording and the voting process of them making sure that the restitution will be paid to foundational Black Americans. This is very important. And out here in LA now, they got like some of the Black immigrants are trying to get a little coalition together now. Because see, the Black immigrants now, they understand that we're looking out for our best interests. So they've been distancing themselves from foundational Black Americans all along. So now we're letting them distance themselves all the way away from us so they can do their thing politically. Because right now we have to look out specifically for foundational Black Americans. We're looking out for our group specifically. So now they're trying to scramble and get some kind of coalition going on now right here. Look at this. Let me show y'all this article that came out. The immigrants are trying to get, the Black ones are trying to get something going on now right here. Hold on. Let me lower this page. Let me shorten it up. Black immigrants host LA mayoral candidates. So they're trying to, these some Black immigrants out here with Karen Bass. They're trying to get something going on. All right. They're trying to get some kind of Black immigrant coalition because they can't get a coalition with the white Hispanic. The Hispanic immigrants ain't rocking with them. They know that. The Hispanic immigrants are not rocking with them. We're not letting them tether on us right now because we got to get some political things in order for foundational Black Americans. We got to get it in order for us. We got to prioritize us. So now they're like, damn. So let's we're going to try to cobble together something now. Now, that's not divisive. See, when they're trying to get something for Black immigrants, we're not running up on them talking about, oh, that's the, yo, y'all niggas divisive. Oh, y'all divisive. No, knock yourself out. Do you. Don't complain about us getting stuff going on for ourselves. We're not mad at you. If you get something going on, that's great. But we, foundational Black Americans, we got to get our stuff in order over here. We got to get it in order. And that's just what it is. We have to prioritize what's in the best interest of foundational Black Americans. This, we cannot have a great replacement coming from the inside because we're already dealing with the white supremacists and their great replacement mindsets. But again, we're getting attacked from all fronts. We got some of these tethers trying to physically attack foundational Black Americans, running up, killing Black doctors and all this stuff. And then we have them trying to come at us on the political standpoint. We got all of these non-FBA tethers that's being systematically put in political positions to undermine us. And then you have some of the tethers in the damn media that's been put into place to attack us and undermine us, to replace us. That brings me to this story here. From the damn Root, the disgusting rag that they call the Root. The Root, this, you want to see how much anti-FBA hatred that they have, especially for for Black FBA males. The Root did a story, and it was written by a non-FBA tether named Candace McDuffie, who I think she's Caribbean. I think she talks with a damn Caribbean accent, one of these damn tethers, non-FBA tethers, which represents everything of the Root. The Root hates foundational Black Americans, particularly FBA males who are heterosexual. But the Amber Heard verdict, her and Johnny Depp were in court. They were going through their defamation trial, which has absolutely nothing to do with Black people, particularly Black men, has absolutely nothing to do with us. But with the Root, that's neither here nor there. Ladies and gentlemen, the Root found a way to turn the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp story into an anti-FBA narrative. An anti-Black male FBA narrative. They found a way. These people will pretzel and twist logic and do so many mind-boggling reaches in order to attack foundational Black American men. This is the article. Amber Heard's verdict sends a message to Black women everywhere. Heard, okay, I'm gonna skip through a lot of it. Wednesday, a jury decided that actor Johnny Depp had been defamed by his ex-wife, Amber Heard. She's supposed to give such and such millions of dollars. Okay. And Heard said in a statement, "I'm more disappointed with what this verdict means for other women. It's a setback. It sets back the clock to a time when a woman who spoke up and who could speak out publicly could be publicly shamed and humiliated. It sets back the idea that violence against women is to be taken seriously. And here comes the reach. If the mistreatment of a wealthy, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white actress is ridiculed by the world, what does that mean for black women? Uh-oh. For black women who do not have whiteness or fame or money to protect them, Heard's words of the verdict as a setback rings especially true. Whether you believe it or not, the way the world treated Heard was downright cruel and uncalled for. Not really, because she was doing some slick stuff. She was defecating on the man's bed. She was doing some real ratchet stuff. Not only were her bruises placed under a microscope by forensic experts during the trial, social media joined in on the skepticism. All right. Heard was turned into everything from memes to murals, mocking the validity of her abuse. But some even believed Depp when he said that she was the aggressor in the relationship. If all of Heard's privilege could not protect her from such viciousness, black women, like always, remain even more vulnerable. As we've seen from Tina Turner to Rihanna to Megan Thee Stallion to dozens of young black women R. Kelly abused, our pain becomes punchlines. So this woman managed to crowbar in a dig on Ike Turner, Chris Brown, and R. Kelly. Man, do you know the level of reaching with this? The level of reach. Boy, they sit up here and come up with ways to, how can we denigrate black men? We can't have Zaddy. Yeah, Johnny Depp. This is Johnny Depp. We can't have Zaddy as the bad guy. This is what this is really about. Yeah, Johnny Depp is bad, but black men are even worse than Johnny Depp. You know how the level of anti-black FBA black male hatred that you have to take a story about a zaddy that has nothing to do with black men to crowbar it just to say, well, yeah, zaddy, white daddy is bad, but niggas are worse. Just the level of contempt that these tethers at the root have for foundational black American males, because again, those men are just proxies for foundational black American men. These women who write for the root, most of them come from Africa or the Caribbean. They never talk about the degradation and all the filth and nonsense that goes on with the rape and the torture in their homelands. They never do that. The focus is always on us, but when we call them out, we're divisive. We gotta check these tethers any chance we get. Don't ever be ashamed to not only check the white supremacists, but check the tethers among them and the tethers that they send to us. We got every right to check these folks, because that type of anti-FBA nonsense is dangerous and it's disrespectful, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, man, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. A lot of folks in here, boys. A lot of y'all in here today, man. Look, everybody, go to the Kickstarter right now. If you have not gone to the Kickstarter for the film American Maroon, go to the Kickstarter right now. The Kickstarter link is right there. We got 26 days to go. We're at 11,000 right now for the Kickstarter. So ladies and gentlemen, show love, show respect. Let's show some building energy. Let's get this thing. We only have to get to the 80K mark. We can do that. That's nothing at all, ladies and gentlemen. We can do that. Be a part of the movie. We need the family's energy to be a part of this film. Go to Kickstarter.com. If you're not watching right now live, go to Kickstarter. Go to American Maroon. This is the Kickstarter right here. We're at 11,200 right now. We're doing good. 26 days to go. So everybody, please get involved right now. Click that link below. Anyway, I'm going to check in with you guys later on this week. We're still waiting on the baby, man. Our baby girl, baby Quoquo Nisha. is about to be born any day now. So me and the lady, me and my wife, we're on deck right now. We got our hospital bags packed. You know, when you have kids, you got to have your emergency overnight bags ready. So any day now, the baby's due any damn day now. So we're sitting on pins and needles. So I keep everybody posted on that. But anyway, man, much respect to the family, man. Shout out to you guys. Much respect. Papiakute, Lola Vuve to the family. Y'all have a great, prosperous, and productive week, family. Peace.